What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kat Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things each week to make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kat Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Hello, everybody.
Kind of said what up, bay y'all? There. I don't like that.
Said bay?
Kind of said,
yeah,
like,
you sounded a slightly southern. You had a southern twang.
I'm Patrick Monahan.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know where that came
I'm
from.
I'm here to do the podcast. That's
who is that?
Accurate.
Like Mark McKinney? Who that was?
I don't know what it is. Sometimes you got to just take a voice and then I just torture my vocal cords and make it weirder and weirder. I'm here to do the podcast.
Yeah,
I do a podcast with that guy.
Yeah, can you imagine listening to an hour and a half of that? He'd be like, "Yeah, it's pretty good for half an hour."
Like, he sounds kind of like, he's got kind of like the My Pillow like kind of voice, like the Sargento's guy.
It's a murder podcast. She was found dead, stabbed 28 times.
I'm glad as soon as the podcast started, every sound outside my window that could possibly happen started. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but it was like, you know, in a cartoon when like somebody knocks over a trash can and there's like a cat screech, a car alarm, a trombone, like that all just started outside my window.
So
like,
right, one man band.
Cat lives in a cartoon. Oh no, my cat! My cat got out. Came back. Oh, and also we wanted to.
That's what it sounds like outside my window every night.
Is this the intro to that Beatles? They're harmonizing.
That's beautiful.
What the fuck? All right. We also want to say, first of all, thank you to everybody who subscribes on Patreon. We appreciate it very much. We got some nice messages this week from listeners. We're glad that it's helped. And we are also at 150 bonus episodes, which you can get access to all of them with the Patreon subscription. Hear us do extra stories. This week we're covering... Is it me waiting for the applause to end, or is it me trying to remember the stories? You decide.
It's the... we're going to talk about the North Carolina vaccine laws relating to
the 100
smoking
cigarette
100
law.
Cigarettes. And we're going to talk about some Australians that floated out to sea. That's what
we're going to talk about. DC Pearson floated out to sea.
Yeah,
man, packed. We've been recording for like 3 minutes already. So many voices. Can't believe
I'm in a voicey mood today. I don't know why, but yeah.
Well,
DC
what else
Pearson.
Is going on? I heard you saw a weird ad.
Yeah, I was watching some late night Pawn Stars highlights on YouTube, as is my wont.
Like you do.
And like it was, I was getting some really weird. I think maybe the algorithm was finally giving up. And being like, we're not really sure what your deal is. But first of all, Will Willis of Forge and Fire fame, surprise appearance on Pawn Stars to price a Enigma machine. Very cool. And then
not
I got
not a blade. Pricing an Enigma machine.
Not a
blade. The World War II code breaking device.
Also, okay, thank you for explaining what an Enigma machine was, because I felt stupid that I didn't.
It lives up to the name. It's the thing that they're trying to protect in U571.
Isn't it
the
what
Matthew McConaughey movie?
Isn't it what Benedict Cumberbatch makes in the movie about that?
Well, the machine is what the Germans
Shelby,
use.
Shelby, add the Benedict Cumberbatch to the Guillermo del Toro.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
If I remember right, and sorry to any dads who all love World War II stuff, obviously, out there. It's
looking up from their submarine model that they're assembling. What?
The Germans used the Enigma machine to create the coded messages that then went out. Getting an Enigma machine would mean that you could, you know, interpret the messages, you know, reverse engineer and stuff.
People are like, lightly, they're like, it's won the war, because they just like, we could read all their shit. We could fucking... We hacked That's their iCloud. It allowed us to hack the Germans' iCloud and get their
got
plans,
all their nudes,
all their maps. They uploaded all of their military maps to the iCloud, and then we hacked it.
Yeah, they put them in that hidden photos album that has a number next to it. Does not seem very hidden to anyone. I'm not sure what the value of that is.
The equivalent of like a folder that says "Do not open." It's like you're getting opened first.
Yeah. Well, they hid it. They hid all their maps in a folder that just said "porno," and so it was like, oh well, clearly it like they don't. You know, nobody would label this porno unless that's actually what it was.
Their porno. And their porno was in a folder called "files" or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Something
yeah.
Work stuff.
Work stuff.
School stuff to go back to when you actually had to hide it from someone and or something. Yeah,
underrated, you know, moment in aging and becoming an adult is the first time you can just put some shit in the regular bookmarks folder. Like whatever, I don't need. This doesn't need to be study guides anymore or whatever. I'm an adult. I'm in control of my destiny. And then you just hope no one ever hits it.
Well, I mean, you got to bookmark stuff you like because trying to find it again has got to be humiliating. Just what the keywords you're plugging in, like that.
Well, the keywords kind of apply to all the movies, so it's like, what am I going to use? Anyways, this ad. This is sort of relevant to the ad. I got this ad that came on, and it just built, and it was like, all right, I'll try to like walk you through the mental like path journey that I went on. Because an ad comes up, and it's just like this California bro-looking guy, you know? And he starts talking about probiotics. And I'm like, okay, this is just normal, like...
Sure.
Whatever. And then he's like, starts talking about how, in studies, these probiotics were shown to increase ball size in mice. And...
like, and that, we want that? You want that?
That's what the thing is the entire ad is about making your balls bigger. And it's this like the best part is it's not some weirdo. It's like this like surfer bro who looks like he's going to sell you like that fucking obnoxious soap. Dr. Squatch can fuck off. I hate that guy so much. But, and
Shelby,
then
Shelby
like,
says mud water. He gets this one too.
Is no, it's not mud water.
Shelby said
it's
the mud water was the probiotics. He wrote that earlier, but he said I get this ad too.
It's
so he's seen the balls ad.
It's called Florisil 50 by Umzu. I'm sorry. I mean, free advertisement. I guess
bleep it out
until we get paid. But it's a really long ad. It's like 2 minutes long, and it's. Like, I had the option to skip it, and I didn't, which is really going to fuck up my algorithm, because now you're like, this guy loves ball-growing juice.
He needs bigger balls.
But it was, like, it was so weird, because the guy was, like, looked, like, pretty normal, and it became very obvious that, like, his ball size is a huge mental block for him. And
is he, like, the founder? Is that what it's being presented as?
I don't think it could be anybody else. He talks with a lot of passion about this. And... he goes deep into the study where, first of all, like, who's doing the study where they're seeing if they can grow mice's balls? Because also that seems really inconvenient for mice because they're, like, on the ground. And he, like, goes into it, and then he, like, starts getting uncomfortable visibly on camera. And, like, so it seems like he's, like, doesn't want to be in the ad. Like, it's so strange. And, yeah, then he just starts going, like, yeah, the mice grew bigger balls. There's, like, no matter... And he keeps, by the way, he says balls. He doesn't say testicles. He keeps saying balls. And he's like, no matter what the scientists did, the mice always grew bigger balls with this. And then he's like, the mice also exhibited social dominance. And it's like, it's supposed to be an ad for like some pill you take, I guess, to make your balls bigger. But it was truly just like an examination of like a huge mental hangup that this surfer bro has about the size of his balls.
Yeah, like that, because I'm wondering, like, in the ad, is there any like justification for like why you would want bigger balls? Like, I guess
that's like a metaphor. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Saying that is not like that's not like a real thing. It's not like people are impressed. You know, it's so weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming, like, as a straight woman, like, I have seen a lot of different sizes of balls, and I have not had an opinion or preference on any of them.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about it. It's such a... balls don't matter at all. Like, there's porn stars with tiny-ass balls. So, like, don't worry about it,
man. I mean, it'd be weird if there were, like, none. But other than that... Or if there were, like, too many. But other than
I think,
like,
the weirdness would be if they were huge. And that seems like what you're asking for with this weird mice thing.
Also, but, like, if you're self-conscious about your genitals, right? Like, and you're a man, I'm assuming some of that also is, like, piece size. And if you have huge balls, your dick is going to look smaller. So, like, that's already a problem.
It was just so strange. And then, like, it was so much focused on the physical appearance because it wasn't, like, he didn't go into, like, high T, like, you know, like,
right.
stuff like that.
It was literally about physically specific bigger balls.
You know,
like,
what?
Making
actually,
the metaphor real.
You know what I'm thinking about? He has, like, a channel, I guess, and the picture is him, like, he's, like, ripped.
Let's
probably steroid stuff.
Yeah, could be. Like,
that
to try
sense,
to mitigate
least.
The effects of steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just can't say it in the ad.
It looks like he's really uncomfortable.
Can you get,
doing,
like, do they do, like, cosmetic, like, saline injections and stuff? You can just get, like, you know, like...
I think you,
like,
could probably get, like,
there
nudicles.
Is, like, there's a fetish of that.
Because I went to the YouTube channel and it seems like the balls thing is like a secret. like you only see it if they've judged the algorithm has decided you might be into this sort of thing.
You might be into it. Yeah, it's
plus
like an unlisted
make your
video.
Balls huge.
Yeah. Like he's like winking at the camera a lot. But that is
but
the
I mean,
guy.
I guess,
that's his voice.
I guess also this if you take probiotics you won't drown.
So it does point to the fact that humans may have a similar result. I want to tell you about another benefit you've probably never heard of, and it's great for men. There's a certain strain of bacteria called Lactobacillus reuteri that will help you grow bigger balls. There was a study published in 2014 that used
male
here comes,
like,
rats.
These
rats
have music,
extremely
the rock
similar reproductive
music.
Systems as human men. This is why they're commonly used for studies in the reproductive system. In this study, the researcher found that when fed Lactobacillus reuteri, the group of rats actually outperformed the control group. On
I love
many
the like the old guys like,
"Are
you ready for this?"
Like
the like the butt rock in the background.
Yeah,
yeah. But you
it's
can
time
see
to
where
talk
like
about balls.
It takes such an immediate left turn, and then also it's just funny. Like he has that like bro voice, where he, and it's like, don't say balls, man. Say testicles.
Right.
That's like there is like a type of internet ad starring guys like this that drive me fucking crazy. I get one for that fucking beanbag all the time. Do you guys get the beanbag ad?
The moon pod.
No.
Moon pod. Yeah,
bleep
and it's
it.
This guy who's
bleep
like,
it, Shelby.
He's God like, damn it. We're helping these people.
Yeah.
But his ad is just like, what's up? I've invented the world's most popular beanbag. And it's like, yeah. I hate you. I hate you so much. Like,
you fucking asshole.
You fucking asshole. Yeah. I do not. This does not make me want to buy your beanbag. Like, yeah. You're a beanbag startup? I hate you. Just, yeah. But it's like, why put the founder in the ad? Like, he's a scumbag. Don't. Keep him behind closed doors.
It's just weird too because it's like he seems so focused on this like dominance thing, and then it's like,
oh yeah
man, like one of the least dominant things you can do is like desperately do scientific studies to try to find like dominance juice that you can drink.
I mean, taking a pill to make your balls bigger is not the activity of a
rock
dominant
guitar
person.
Very low T. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, hey, if you like, if you're self-conscious about your ball size, that's valid. I don't think you should be. Your balls are beautiful just the way they are. But
or also, not. You know, hey, whatever.
Also, if you are, I would say maybe, but I highly doubt this works. Anyways, I think it's also
it's
not
a good point.
Not real.
So, it's also not real.
You know,
and if it is real, it's probably bad. I feel like it's not good to change the size of your balls. That seems like that might do some stuff to your stuff.
I
in
thought
a way
you were going
that is
like
not great
Christian Scientist on it, where it's like, you don't mess with God's
God gave
fruits.
You those balls for a reason.
Yeah,
he wanted you to have them.
I saw a pretty good, we saw a pretty good internet ad. We were watching something on YouTube TV. Oh, we were watching the Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy show, which is fantastic,
yeah.
By the way. It's just like a travel show.
My parents love it.
It's what's not to like, but it's we got YouTube TV, like ads or whatever, you know, whatever the thing. And one of them is this ad for Suntory, like the Japanese, you know, liquor conglomerate. Mm-hmm. And it's shot and has music and like has, it's like a college ad where, you know, where they show kids working in the lab and then kids swimming in the pool and how like there's, you know, like an ad for the NCAA, yeah. But it's all for just making booze. It's like 2 minutes long. And it's very earnest, and it played every time. It's the only time I've ever had one of those ads that plays in every commercial break that I didn't want to, like, smash the TV or whatever. But I was just like, this
you
is
liked
just,
it?
Like, it's fascinating to me. So it worked. So I do not bleep Suntory. They're allowed
Suntory
to stay.
Suntory time
in.
For Patty.
Yeah, I need to tell you guys about my favorite ad. I'm trying to see if I can find, because somebody, okay, yes, somebody found it for me. So I saw this like years ago and it stuck with me and it like haunts me because I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen, and I couldn't find it forever, and then I pushed it out on Twitter and I found it. it's a bagel bites ad. It's so good, I love it. No, it's an ad for I don't know what it's for, but it's some kind of like weird back page like porno ad. And the headline is Julius Caesar sucked off straight centurions. And sucked off is in all caps. It's so good. And then underneath it, it says, use this stupid trick to suck off your favorite straight guy.
I may have seen this.
It's probably for like some kind of pickup artistry or something for gay guys, but Julius Caesar sucked off straight centurions is the greatest phrase I've ever seen.
It's like
in
how you warm up for, it's an actor warm up. Julius Caesar sucked off straight centurions. I can't do it. It's hard. It's like Julius Caesar sucked off straight centurions.
There
straight
you go.
Guys hate him and themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It is a precursor to doctors hate him. Just straight guys constantly being
that may have That may truly have dethroned Pressure Wash for your insides, which is a classic. You love a Pressure
Wash
for
your insides. Just that doctor with his arms folded, looking very proud to tell you about how to have better bowel movements with like an egg or something. It's like, okay, thanks, man.
I love the one with its financial advisors where it's like, are you making a mistake with your financial advisor? And the picture is a guy with a huge, it's a big cowboy with like a massive mustache and like three teeth. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess that guy should be in charge.
It's like
I'm putting a link to the ad in the Zoom chat if you would like to see it.
I
like that it only works
and
on your favorites. I like that it only works on your favorite straight guy. It doesn't work on your second favorite. It's got to be one you cherish.
Watch the video now before it's gone for good. Also, there's a picture of a bartender pouring a beer, and the hand that's pouring the beer is circled. Is that the trick?
That's the trick.
The trick is to put some kind of drug into the beer when you're pouring it, I guess. That would be that's the stupid trick.
I don't know if the picture of the bartender, if he's the straight guy or if he's the Julius Caesar in this.
Also,
metaphor.
This implies that Julius Caesar would not suck off any gay centurions, only the straight centurions.
Not interested.
And obviously, this is the Uber driver suck me off, but it's Julius Caesar suck me off? You know, the YouTube.
Julius Caesar sucked Uber driver off.
No, well, it's not. If you suck off a straight guy, it's not gay. That's the thing. So he couldn't suck off any gay guys because that would have been that would have been a problem. But you know, so it's fine. So anyway, my favorite.
Hold on, I'm getting a call from an 888 number. This is surely a close personal friend of mine. Let me take a break.
Stop down. Time to end the podcast. What?
I was going to say he's going to miss an urgent message about his vehicle's warranty.
Oh yeah,
always. Should we do numbers?
Let's do it.
Number five.
Okay, number five. I can't remember who submitted this. If someone can read it in the chat,
the Great Bussy Bake Off.
Beautiful. Thank you to the Great Bussy Bake Off in the Discord. $10 subscription gets you access to the channel where you can submit stories like this, and we will shout you out if you submit one. So yeah, this story comes from Adelaide, Australia, like many of our stories do. From what I'm learning about based on our stories in Australia, I think Adelaide is like the Florida of Australia. That's just like, yeah. I'm making a wild conjecture here. Australians can tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems very Florida-like.
Cat's going to have to get booted by the Prime Minister of Australia, like Bart, after making this grave insult.
You want me to text Brad Austin and tell him to ask his wife if Adelaide is the Florida of Australia?
Sure.
Let us know.
I also think this because I have a joke that I sometimes tell on stage about an Australian guy that I hooked up with after a show, and he was from Adelaide, and I feel like when an Australian hears that joke, they're like, ugh. Let's go out back tonight. That's my favorite ad. But yeah, so this guy in Adelaide, he was pulled over for speeding, and he challenged the speeding ticket in court. And he said it was because he bought bigger tires and rims for his car. So he simply could not know that he was speeding because the rim size affected the speedometer, and he cannot be held accountable. So yeah. The idea is basically he was going 68 kilometers per hour in a 60 zone, which
is... It could be any... Who knows? It could be any speed.
It could be any speed.
That would be my defense. I'd be like, I don't fucking know any of this shit. You can't. I didn't know I was speeding. I thought I was going 8 miles an hour. You do it. Fix normal. Your shit. Yeah, do it normal.
Fix your shit.
I want to know how fast I can go 5,280 feet. I don't know any of the other shit. All right,
the normal way.
Yeah, do it normal. That's just America to every other country all the time. It's just do it normal. I don't understand.
Yeah, somebody I think I read a tweet about this or something, but somebody pointed out like I feel like most like smart Americans are like pretty willing to concede that we are like a pretty terrible country and kind of a menace to the rest of the world. But we get so patriotic when someone brings up miles and yards and shit. We're just like, that's the right way to do it. It makes sense. It just feels correct.
Do not tell me what the temperature is in Celsius. I have no idea what that means. I do not know what... Do not say that to me. It means nothing to me.
I will know that I am freezing at 0 and boiling at 100, which is supposed to be helpful, but somehow just makes me angrier at it. Like, it's also just sometimes it's like, because they're like, well, it translates so well. You can use it for everything. And it's like, it shouldn't be the same unit for like cocaine and elephants. Like, elephants weigh tons. And then when they're like, well, it's kilograms, it's like, no, that's not an elephant thing. It's different for each type of how big something is. And that's how I learned it. Yeah, I don't know. I give it
just
like,
feels right. A mile is how far I can walk in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's correct.
Nobody walked 500 kilometers to someone's door. That sucks. It's miles, baby.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, garbage. I think I'm done too. I used to, like, at one point I would be like, we should all switch to the metric system. Now I'm like, no, fuck it. I don't give. I'd like miles. They're good.
They're cool good. Stuff. I enjoy them. But yeah, so he was going 68 in a 60, which could be anything. Sorry.
Here come the police. The metric system
arrested.
Police.
Yeah, like,
I'm getting arrested
that,
by the metric cops. They're coming to take me away. Patty, what were you gonna say? Sorry.
Like 8 kilometers an hour, I don't think is that high over the speed limit.
That's
so we're really not fighting
say.
Over a lot here. It doesn't seem.
That's
like.
What I was gonna say. Is like 68 in a 60. That's like he's going like it was like he's going what 34 in a 30 or something like that. Like it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, we also did.
But
it reminds me of in the famous Akon song "Convict" or what's the one? I don't know. One of the ones where he yells convict music. He's like bragging about crimes, and then one of them is like doing 90 in a 65, and I'm like, that's not that crazy. It's like most people probably have done that, but
that's like a normal speeding speed. Like,
yeah,
it's fast, but like you're gonna pass somebody doing 90 in a 65, like no question.
But
you're gonna
for
see,
Akon,
you're gonna see
it
that
was
guy
a big
out
moment.
There. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good for him. Yeah, proud of him. But yeah, so this guy he brought out all this like math to prove that his tires, the like radius of his tires, messed up his speedometer.
Yeah.
he also another thing to point out here is that this same guy has gotten 12 speeding tickets in the last in the last like 3 years,
and they're all wrong.
Well, yeah. He's in 10 of those cases he successfully argued to have the so they like have points on their license like we do, so he argued to have less points on his license. Yeah,
they're metric
of it. 10
points
times.
Does this, get, does this just points. Mean like the cop didn't show up? Like, I'm, you know, if this happens in the U.S., like the way you win is the cop doesn't show
up. Doesn't then, come,
I think so. This everything about this guy seems like, you know, it's like people who are like, I've never lost an argument. It's because like everyone gives up as soon as you start talking.
This guy's like, can I get winning. An easel for my presentation? They're like, what? Okay, well, hang on. The cop's not here.
See,
well,
I bet.
That's the other thing is they question him because the judge was like, well, you're like presenting all of this like physics data, why don't you have an expert? And he's like, I'm not gonna pay for an expert, it's a speeding ticket, which like fair enough.
Yeah, also why are you here? See, also they have to use some fucked up, they can't just use three strikes because that's an American measurement, that's the easy one.
That is that is an American unit of
now
measurement.
He's gotta be I've had 10 metric misdemeanors, and now
I was gonna say one strike is it's 2.2 kilostrikes. It's confusing. 6.6 kilostrikes.
British guy trying to issue me a demerit. I'll plant him in the ground. I'd like to see him try.
Americans do not respect demerits. Absolutely not.
Oh, I guess I can't go to Oxford anymore, you motherfucker.
Get his ass.
Him. I really enjoy this man's defense. I think, Kath, you were too generous by saying he brought a lot of math to this, because he mostly just said the word math a lot.
He said Pythagoras, so you know he's doing great. He said, well, here's his math, a quote: a small circle spins faster than a big circle, what evidence do I need? It's mathematics. Which
it's
is amazing.
Very good. But also, his base thing is that, like, a speedometer is, like, really dumb and didn't figure out that the car was going fast. Like, it doesn't make... I don't know how he thinks
speedometers
work.
He basically said his speedometer wasn't calibrated right, which is... Like,
I mean, how big
like
are these tires that it's making that big... Like is he driving around in Gravedigger all of a sudden? What?
I can't tell because they're like... He went
good
from,
luck
like,
pulling
16...
Gravedigger over in Australia. It's those people are... They're Mad Maxing everywhere. Like, you can't. Yeah. It's not
in Australia.
Work.
In Australia,
you pull over the guy, and it's the guy from Wolf Creek. It's like, oh boy, this is a mistake.
In Australia, Gravedigger is just like a model of car. Like, you could buy a Gravedigger.
Yeah.
It's like they have financing offers for like a new, fully kitted out Gravedigger for, you know, $50,000 dues.
That's the metric of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Simpsons. Right. I'm not going to claim that. But yeah, I also think that one of the things I enjoyed is that he also, in the process, just admits that he speeds all the time. Doesn't he?
He had 12 speeding tickets.
He also is like, does he say something? He's like, when I'm alone, I go a bit McQueen now and then. Like, he's like, what's wrong with that? And we're like, well, it's speeding.
I consider myself a bit of a Steve McQueen when I'm going in the hills if the road is open, but I drive safely, which is that's the driving equivalent of like posting pictures of a party you went to and being like, social distanced, of course. But I drive safely.
Mask in my pocket.
Like, hey man, were you speeding? Yes, but it wasn't intent. It's like, okay, like done. Like, here, you know, like, what's the, like, yep, all right.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like walking
into
this
guy seems cool to me.
Yeah. Walking and be like, whom among us doesn't speed? And it's like, that's not a defense, dude. Anyways. Best
great
of luck.
Name, great last name, Scylla, the mythical creature from the Odyssey, Scylla and Charybdis.
Yeah.
So which one is Scylla?
I believe Scylla was
the short, fat one. And Charybdis is the tall, skinny one.
It's like an Abbott and Costello thing.
Yeah,
I think Skill is the monster, and Charybdis is the
Skill is the straight man.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Skill is the serpent-y one, I believe.
Yeah,
which
makes sense. Cool. Scale Skilla. I don't know.
Sure. Skill is a legendary monster. Who lives on one side of a narrow channel of water. not super helpful.
Yeah, and Charybdis is the whirlpool. Like, it's that's you're between the two.
The
like,
whirlpool the, is the monster. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, look,
it's like a Sarlacc situation.
In like ancient Greece was basically a lot like Japan, where they just make everything into a cool mascot.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Rules. So like it's a whirlpool, but it's like a person too.
Mm. Well,
so anyway, this guy's like that. That's what we're saying.
This guy's a regular Scylla and Charybdis. My man's. Oh, should we do the next?
Yes.
Number four.
Speaking of fantastical creatures.
Ooh, good segue.
Someone used a sword to steal Magic the Gathering cards from a BC store. Is this story? This one was sent. Yeah, shocking. Really not shocking. This one was sent to us by Moonstorm. Thank you for this. This is in Vancouver. Yeah, the new Westminster. Oh my God. My like America hackles are very raised right now. Like new Westminster.
Very patriotic episode.
Yeah. So this guy goes into this is a game store in Vancouver. He went to the store, picked up several bundles of cards and placed them into a bag. Then a store employee confronted him, at which point the man, quote, brandished a curved sword, which I guess he had.
I want a more detailed description of the sword, really.
They don't really, these guys, this is, they don't understand how important the,
I bet the person who wielded the sword is very upset there is not a more specific description of the sword in the article.
Yeah. And, so
we gotta get Will Willis in here to talk about this.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got pictures of the guy now.
Stefan Heck.
Stefan Heck brandished wielded a curved sword when confronted. The man involved is said to be white and between the ages of 20 to 40, which, yeah, sure.
Checks out.
Yeah, he had a bandage on his left hand at the time, probably from sword stuff. And, it's exactly the thing. He was wearing a face mask with the Flash logo on it.
Yeah.
I just, like... And then they also, like, it's clear they don't really know how to report on, not to shame them, but they don't really know how to report on, like, magic, like, what he stole. Because they said...
Wow, these journalists really need to brush up on their magic.
Well, they were like, this fine, upstanding citizen, they're being sarcastic, shoplifted a number of magic bundles. It's like, what? Okay, but...
They should have called in an expert. They should have called you, Eli.
This file photo is like shit that's not worth stealing, by the way. It's like just lands and not even...
That's
like,
what I'm like, saying, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not... Oh, like, man, I felt such shame when I like sold a magic card and then I had to go to a mailing center and inform them of the insurance I needed on it. And hoo boy, they're like, what are you sending? And I'm like, a card. And they're like, what's it worth? And I'm like, gave him the number. And lady was like, okay. Just like this sort of shameful thing. Anyways, that's what I understand is it sounds like he just swept like a bunch of cards into a bag, which as Patty said, you're just going to get like a lot of lands, which is not worth stealing and like 100% not worth threatening someone with a sword over.
He's like an addict. Like he doesn't care what the quality is. He just needs his magic card fix.
Yeah.
He's just going in there swiping stuff willy-nilly.
But like at least do that with booster packs, dude. Like then you at least can have your fix when you open the little packs. This dude just like swept a table. I hope they were playing a game while he did it. Like two guys were in the middle of there's a tournament going on. No!
Yeah, it's like in, The Sopranos where they like hold up the poker game or whatever, but it's a Magic the Gathering game.
Yeah, it's Molly's game, but it's a magic tournament that Jessica Chastain runs. Like a high...
Tobey Maguire's there.
Whatever that guy's name is like desperately buying back in so he can have another round.
Bill Camp.
He's like, my deck's not going off. I'm getting mana flooded. It's once I get the lands I need, I'm good. I just need, Yeah, is that the guy who has the... He's an excellent actor for just someone who is in a really bad, having a bad time. He stresses out good. His like hair gets all fucked up.
I hate when I lose a magic card game and my hardware store gets busted out by the mob because of it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
My kid can't go to college because I lost a Magic the Gathering tournament.
It was a big mistake letting drunk Chris O'Dowd introduce the Russian mob to your Magic card game. That was, yeah, that's when things really went south.
Not great.
Yeah, so he introduces his friend Sergey, and all of his Magic cards are in Russian. You're just like, oh my god, this is bad.
This is like, not what I wanted.
It's like, I play island, your go. Damage on this deck. This is all Magic. Jokes just for me.
Yeah. I'm sure some of our listeners will appreciate it.
Sergey's coming in. He's playing an all-Russian blue deck. He's pissing everybody off. It's fucking a nightmare. Anyways, now we're done with the Magic block. Good with that. Yeah, so I would venture to say that there's like 0% chance that this was worth it. I mean, I think like... they got a picture of this bag. He has like a Costco like cooler bag that he swept the cards into. I would ballpark. I don't think this could be more than like $100 absolute tops worth of cards.
Get the register at that point, right? I mean, the crime is the crime. The store. Like, you're already
right.
Doing it.
You're robbing a store.
It's also like, a game store. It. So it's like...
No, you see, it was off the shelf. It was not robbery. It's like, I don't...
It's shoplifting.
Don't think
it's not robbery.
Yeah, like, dude, you pull the knife.
It's just like... It's a hobby store. Just steal like 4 books and it'll be worth the same.
Yeah.
Just
get
like...
some of the Warhammer figurines or something.
Dude, yeah. Or just get a bunch of like D&D... like, you know, like handbooks and sell them on Amazon. Like, it's just not worth it. I don't understand. Like, I truly cannot fathom this guy's thinking, because it's like, it's not going to be worth a lot of money. And even if there were like specific cards you needed, I don't know. Like, you're not going to get them. I don't know. This is, I would love to see a kind of documentary on like what led to this breaking point of.
Yeah. He just needs those lands. He's fiending for them.
Yeah.
Even low quality, you know, even the stepped on shit is going to do it for him at this point. He's an addict. He just needs it.
That's what I used to, when I played as a kid, I didn't have a lot of money, obviously, because I was a child. So I used to buy the most fucked up versions of cards that you could still legally play in a tournament because they were expensive. So I'd have like a ripped in half land and be like, like, because I couldn't get the expensive ones. So somebody
as long
be
as
like,
you have more than 50% of the card, they have to accept it.
They have
it's exactly. it's like with money.
They
it's
have like not, rules what? For that. Like, yeah, and I'd just be like, I'd be scouring eBay for like people who put their Magic cards through a washing machine that I could, so I could afford to finish my deck. But
I do. I imagine like it's funny that it was with a sword, but I also think that's like the perfect way to rob a hobby store because like how many guys are coming in there with swords? Tons.
Lots.
Like every day.
Yeah.
You're just, you see a guy come in with a sword and you're just like, yeah. Like you don't get worried about it because that's who goes into hobby stores.
Here's a question, because this is I guess a law question. A sword is a deadly weapon, right? So is this guy facing basically the same charges if he just walked in with a fucking gun?
I don't know. I don't know what the law is in British Columbia or wherever this is, but I mean, it seems, you know, attempted murder, if he stabbed somebody versus shot somebody, they're both still attempted murder. So, like, I mean, you know, it's the same type of thing. So, it's definitely some kind of menacing or, you know, burglary or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably different. I mean, there might be possession of a weapon charges that are different for gun and knife, but yeah, it's not good. you know.
Legal opinion, would not recommend doing this.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
Also, I feel like
my take.
Hobby stores like this are almost always in malls. It's like, just go to the jewelry store at this point, dude. Just fucking be a robber. Like, just go
take
try
money.
To, yeah.
Take money. This is so weird.
I mean, I don't think the cards would be traceable, but that's the only
that's
reason
a good
I
point.
Could think.
They don't put those packs of dye in the Magic card. <Yeah. laughs>
He opens the thing and just
flipping through a deck and it fires.
It's just that's actually what the plot of Good Time was originally about. Is they robbed a hobby store and it's Magic cards and they're running around with the red dye all over them trying to.
Yeah, they have the cards have like a security thing punched through the middle of them. So, guy shows up to play in a tournament and his deck is all fucked up and like crooked because there's security tags on all the cards.
It's like, oh, they knew which cards to leave. It's like in the Dark Knight when he leaves the little stacks of tracker money. It's like some of the cards have
you can only take cards
okay, anything that costs over six mana is registered. We can only take the cards that cost under six mana because they're not insured. All these specifics. Yeah. Oh boy!
Something tells me this guy did not plan out that heist creatively enough to get past the die packs. That's probably how they caught him.
I'm almost surprised that there wasn't like a spike of like crime of opportunity robberies because everybody's already in a mask. You know?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also weird because if you work at a bank before this, if somebody walked in with a mask, it was go time. But now it's like you have to. I would be on edge like all the time. Seems rough.
Yeah, I just found out, by the way, when I was looking up Will Willis to say that he was going to consult on the blade. He's out as Forge and Fire host. This is I feel like I'm.
What happened?
There's a new host. This guy Grady Powell.
Powell, good luck, man.
As of the end of last year, so I'm exposing us as frauds and not up on the latest Forge and Fire.
I haven't watched the newest season.
But there's a new host. I'm not sure if it was acrimonious or not, or why he left. But It was one of those articles like because I googled his name really quick and just said like what happened to Will Willis, and it was like I thought it was one of those bullshit things like why Hollywood won't cast Anne Hathaway anymore or whatever.
Why Hollywood has abandoned Will Willis? The downfall of Will Willis.
Fucking ugly Will Willis's child is now that shit.
Unrecognizable. It's like it's the same. What
nasty little troll child. Does see, you guys have you know,
some kind of like face blindness?
I would assume he just was like, yeah, I've done six seasons of the show.
I think he just had a baby too. So like maybe
it's probably very hot in that room.
It is. I was just thinking that it seems unpleasant. Like long shoot days.
It doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like a physically comfortable job to have, really.
And obviously like those challenges that they do, like they boil it down to 40 minutes, but it takes hours and hours of them just like doing stuff to like banging on the thing and like heating things up, and it's like it's not really
like studio lights by themselves are super hot. Like I think whoever does the powder on, because when we did that like Paramount thing, I had to get powdered like three times because I kept sweating. It's like whoever's on the powder duty at Forge and Fire must like
The industrial strength stuff. They're just powdering you with straight chalk.
They're just getting antiqued like Bam Margera style.
Miss
you, Will Willis, unless you got fired for something bad.
I think that's about right.
Should we do number three?
Let's do it.
Number three
comes to us from Wet Bigfoot's. It's a story about a surprise passenger in the cockpit of a flight from Sudan.
Wow, that's a really insensitive way to describe 9/11. How dare you?
We're talking about 9/11.
Number three is 9/11.
World's worst passenger.
A surprise stowaway in the cockpit.
This story is a nightmare a passenger, old, but we think it's a pretty good one.
What happened 20 years ago?
Oh boy.
This story is from 19 and a half years ago.
Someone just posting a link to the Wikipedia page about 9/11 in the story suggestions on Discord.
Okay.
We could talk about this.
Emailing it
Did
to
you
us.
Hear about this? So.
Well, my mom sent me this. Looks like.
So this flight was from Sudan to Qatar, and it was I guess it was like in the air for about half an hour, and I'm not sure, they don't know exactly how this happened, but this description is, well, there was a cat that got in the cockpit and just started going wild. So you know, picture a cat going wild, and that's kind of what was going on here, just like all that kind of, you know, like and then just
Shelby's got to have his
claws everywhere.
Finger
and stuff.
On the triggers goes like sending to hit.
Oh, well, that was the Zelda.
Did you hear that?
There she is.
Anyways, we're about to hit 10,000 feet.
It was not the classic well high cat that we all love and know.
Yeah.
It was not some affectionate chirping. It was going wild.
It was going fucking buck wild.
Just when a cat goes wild when it's like when it gets like the zoomies and needs to run around and stuff. It is just all limbs and claws.
Yeah,
like that is all. It's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon when they do like the like spinning pinwheel legs for running. That's like what a cat becomes.
It's like a little
that pinwheel.
It's like a little Sonic the Hedgehog is fucking smashing computers and going crazy. And it's like, you, all of a sudden you remember, you're like, cats can kind of climb walls. Like, because they're just going fucking crazy.
That cat has all surfaces are in play in this cockpit for this cat to go wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're just going nuts. The cat's going nuts up there. You know, we got a lot of, this is a New York Post story, so we have, let's see here, I'll give you a few of the puns. The in-flight catastrophe.
Nice.
Also, the photoshopped image of the story is
it's fantastic. Very good. It's what a beautiful is it? Shot. It's a shot of a cockpit, like they're flying into the sunset, and there's just a blurry cat just on full like kill mode, like a tabby.
Very good, very good.
Let's see here. Referring to him as the hairy hijacker, suddenly appeared in the cockpit and began to throw a hissy fit. That's also a very inappropriate description of any number of in-flight attacks. The perturbed passenger, but they think it anyway. They think the cat got on board. The jet was in the hangar overnight for cleaning, so they must have just left a door open. I guess I'm not clear. It probably seems like you shouldn't do that. They attempted to restrain the cat. It did not work, so they had to go back and make an emergency landing.
they land the plane.
No chains could control it. It was shattered. Any restraints put on it?
I like the idea of like you should see the outside of the plane, and the cat's going wild, and the plane's just going like ooh, like up and down, like the.
Yeah, I mean it.
To be fair, like having to restrain a cat that is freaking out when you don't have like a carrier or like anything to like you would have to kill that cat. Like the options were.
Well,
that cat
is
a kamikaze. Like, if you're not going to land the plane, you have to snap that cat's neck. There's no other way.
And it was, like, really early, so, like, I'm not up on plane, but, like, that's usually when autopilot isn't on yet. Like, and then I'm just imagining, you know when a cat, like, climbs on you but is using its claws on your shoulder?
Yep.
It's just this guy trying to ascend, and the plane's like, ah, fuck! Ah! Ah!
An alternative that would also be very funny is to, in order to continue the flight, they just get the cat out of the cockpit and let it go wild on all the passengers.
I mean, that
so
seems like what you got to do.
But imagine you're sitting in an airplane seat and you see the door of the cockpit open and someone just shoving a cat out and then slamming the door.
Imagine the fucking PA when they have to call like an attendant and it's like,
this is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
It's like, is that a cat?
Yeah, like,
hang on.
If we could get one of the attendants up into the cockpit immediately, that'd be great.
Everyone's like, was there a cat going nuts in there?
Yeah.
Also, like,
this cat.
It's very funny to think about them having to land the plane and like this cat stowed away on this plane. Presumably they're landing somewhere else. And it's like this cat just now has a new life. It's just it like joined witness protection. It's completely new identity.
Like a plane, a 737 flying for half an hour is a lot farther than a cat is going to get.
on foot.
It's a little D.B. Cooper jumping out of the plane.
And they also...
They strap a parachute to the cat and just throw it out the plane.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then they're like, wait,
that'd be fine.
Good luck. And the cat can't open it, so just someone just finds a dead cat with a parachute on it in the desert. Like,
They don't even need the parachute. Just push them out. They land on their feet, right? So it's fine.
Right.
Fine. On their feet.
Look, he's got totally nine lives. He's fucking fine.
It'll be like Aquaman.
He'll land on his feet, but like the ground will be like depressed by the impact. So you'll just find a dead cat in like a small depression in the ground.
You just see something like a glint in the sky, and it's like, and it just smacks into the ground, and then the cat does that thing where it like gets up and like shakes off and walks away. If you saw that, you'd be like, we have to kill all cats. This is.
No way. We have to worship them.
Mm. Yeah.
This one came from heaven.
It's going back to Egypt style. The last pun I want to make it a point of is They refer to it as a sky mall, which is nice.
Nice. I like that. That's pretty good.
That's the best one. That should have been the headline, honestly.
Yeah, but, sky mall. Absolutely. That's very really, good. You said this was... You said this was in Sudan, so like they're pretty close to cat worshiping, you know, history. That's like, that's pretty close historically. So yeah, throw him out. If he lives, he becomes a god. If he dies, you get to cut her safely. Yeah. So
that's so you know if the cat is like a witch, throw it out of the plane.
Yeah.
So they used to do it.
I do wish we know what the cat looked like. I would really like to
yeah, everything seems to be file photos. We don't have yeah. You know. So.
Sadly.
And you click through all the different iterations of where the story has been aggregated, and they're all, you know, different interpretations of, you know, an angry cat or like, you know, like one of them's like a sad cat in a carrier, like after they corralled him, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
It's like one of those big ones. What is it, like the main?
Maine Coon?
Yeah.
I love those guys. They're awesome.
Yeah, big fluffy ones. Or it's just like Lil Bub just crashing a plane.
Lil Bub would never. Mostly because I think he is too deformed to go wild.
I think he died.
I think he would be easy to contain.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Lil Bub.
Back to his home planet.
Lil Bub is Lil Bub also a lady, so let's be not, you know.
They shot Lil Bub's corpse into space.
She needed to go home. Yeah.
Still living. Oh, no. Sorry, Lil Bub.
Her work here is done. We have to shoot her back into space. It's time. Should we do number two?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Number two.
This comes to us from the Daily Mail, which I never know what newspapers are real from other countries. So this is a recent sale of some very special World War II memorabilia. They recently auctioned off Adolf Hitler's personal toilet seat.
Oh my god.
Did he carry it around with him?
I guess
like,
so.
I can't use any of the other ones.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's for his hemorrhoids and stuff. Didn't he have like all sorts of shit though?
He had like a body man carrying it in like a briefcase, like the way they carry the nuclear codes, but he had his toilet seat.
Yeah. It just unfolded. Yeah, I mean, I could see it because he had like crazy problem. Like he had like didn't he have like a micro penis and then also like his ass didn't work. You can see why he was so mad.
I knew he had like weird genital issues.
He had genital issues.
I don't know about his ass.
Sorry, to the World War II dads who are getting mad about this. That's not what Hitler. What? Come on.
Even if you're a World War II guy, I think
watch
you're
a
like,
documentary.
I don't think you like. Once. I got to stand up for Hitler in this one. I think he had like
Hitler did not need a squatty potty. He was a man.
It's not standing up for him. It's just being accurate about the history. Okay, that's what's important.
It was Hitler's squatty potty. No, like I think he had like
man, that would do serious damage to that company if it came out that Hitler had a squatty potty. problem.
I think he had like uncontrollable flatulence problems. He used to eat like charcoal because he like couldn't
why
stop
why did anyone
farting.
Respect this man?
Dude, is I don't know, he was an art school dropout with like a fucked up dick. It couldn't stop farting and everyone was like, yes, the new world order. Yes, sir. He's just like, like, yes, follow him. Why would you want to follow him? He's going to fart on you. Anyways, bad guy. It's my opinion.
Anyways, bad guy.
Art school dropout with a fucked up dick who can't stop farting. Are you talking about my ex?
Yeah. Was that a...
Tinder date?
I think it might be... Maybe it was a Mullen bit that's why Hitler was so mad. It was like, imagine if you had a micro penis and you found out there was a religion that was cutting off part of their dick for no reason. How mad that would make you. Anyways... so they sold this, it auctioned off for £13,750, $13,750 metric dollars. it sparked.
We should start calling them that.
Yeah. Metric dollars. That's like, when I was playing Yakuza on Twitch and you obviously get yen, but I was like, no, those are Yakuza bucks. That's the currency that is in this game is Yakuza bucks.
Treating every other country's currency like it's a fun coupon that you get rewards points or something.
Yeah. How many? I think everything else
neat.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of Japan rewards points that I have to use up.
Oh, these are only good here. Okay.
Well. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you're walking into Disney or something. Like, can't use it outside the park.
Trying to sell them online after you get back from Japan for like less money. Like not knowing about exchange programs and just being like, $2,500 worth of Japan rewards points. Japan bucks. Taking 500, like those people on
or
Facebook.
Or best offer.
Yeah, like the people on Facebook Marketplace, they're selling like $25 Olive Garden gift cards for $20 and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got this. The winning bid was 15,000 metric dollars. Oh, no, regular dollars. Okay. And yeah, it looks, as you'd expect, pretty much like a toilet seat. The way that they got it was.
Pretty much like a.
Pretty much like a toilet seat, or
it has
like
a weird
toilet
front
seat
on it, but that's it. The front kind of looks like balls, but who knows?
It's to you know who needed that fucking the balls pill is Hitler.
Yeah, he needed
give him some security. That was one thing he had, like one ball, I think.
Yeah, his situation was like all wrong. It was just like
it's a mess down there.
Just an absolute yeah. So yeah, they took it. I like where it came from, where it's like this guy, it was looted. So like, you know, one of his retreats in the Alps, which I guess was one where they like found him, but he must have fled because I don't think that's where
he killed
himself.
Is this like the eagle's nest or something?
This is the one where Madison Cawthorn went and took a selfie and was like, it was on my bucket list to visit the eagle's nest for a long time. And everyone's like, hey man, you...
It's like, no, not for that reason, because I like history or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
yeah.
Dude. Well, still phrasing, maybe work on that.
Strangely enough, the winning bid placed by Cadison Mawthorn. yeah, so this is in the Eagle's Nest or whatever, I guess. And it's funny because an American soldier looted it, which like is also funny because they say that, I guess maybe this guy's still alive and they asked him about it or whatever. So they, you know, the Eagle's Nest or whatever got
the guy who
raided.
Looted the toilet seat is still alive.
It may be they at least have quotes from him.
Okay.
So you know they got in there. Hitler had vanished. He was in another castle.
I was gonna say
yeah.
Your Hitler is in another castle.
Yeah, Toad was there, little Nazi Toad. So they were like, go get what you want. You know, go loot the shit out of this place.
Nazi Toad's name is Toad, by the way. T-O-D-T.
Toad. Hair Toad. Yeah, you know, he was whoever. And so this guy went and grabbed the toilet seat and he said he was asked by another GI that was holding a chandelier. He was like, why are you taking a toilet seat? And the guy, Sergeant Borch, replied, where do you think Hitler put his ass? And then he shipped it home to his where he lives in New Jersey, which, yeah.
Yeah,
that
is where
very,
Hitler
very
put his ass.
Ironic about a GI taking a toilet seat. That just seems correct to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to do it.
You got to. It makes too much sense. So, yeah, they did that. And the seat was among a host of looted spoils of war up for grabs in the auction. And, yeah, I mean, whoever bought this is some freak. It's probably like lick it. You know, it's some like tough Nazi guy that's going to like, you know, make soup with it or something and drink it to try to get more Aryan.
I think best case scenario, this is a fetish thing. Like, it's either a just pure white nationalist thing, or there's a sex component involved. And I feel like the sex component makes it like less bad slightly.
Yeah, it's well the other stuff they sold. I think there's a lot of stuff, but it also seems like they had a whole like freak category of this auction because they also sold like.
This auction after hours.
Yeah, they sold like a bunch of Eva Braun's underwear, which is just like, dude, have this auction
this
and then lock
Nazi
the doors.
Perverts.
Lock the doors and round everybody up.
Check them out.
Give them a taste of their own medicine.
Give them a background check. Yeah,
and so then they talk about it too, where they're like, you know, if anyone was going to criticize it, the guys were like, how could we possibly embarrass Hitler more than to sell his toilet seat and his wife's underwear? Which is pretty fun.
I mean, that's a very good justification for making money off of Hitler stuff, I guess.
I mean,
it's like, oh, we really owned him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you could do. It's like, you know, hey, make your money where you got it. He is dead.
I'm not. Who knows what we're. I don't delve into the morality here. It's a stinky toilet seat. Somebody's gonna see how much of it they can fit in their mouth to honor the fatherland or whatever. So that's cool. And this is now, I believe, set. Yes, it has now broken the record for a toilet seat. A celebrity toilet seat.
What was
seat.
The number two toilet
I'm
seat?
I'm glad you asked. It was 850 pounds, and that was the toilet seat of Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones.
That's insane. Like, that's very strange.
He's not even one of the
there's
main
no
Stones.
Other, like, it's not in between. There's no in between other people. Like, it's like, no, we go from Bill Wyman to Hitler. That's nope.
I
that's
mean, his... I guess there probably aren't that many toilet seats that are auctioned off. But I would think, like, if you're going to get a toilet seat at an auction, you would want somebody with, like, a remarkable ass. Like, that's whose toilet seat you want. Like, you want, like, Rikishi's toilet seat. Or, like...
I mean, you
know,
you
Megan
could
the Stallion's
off, like, Megan
toilet
the Stallion's,
seat.
That's what I was thinking. Toilet seat.
Oh yeah,
for...
that would probably beat the Hitler record. I
yeah.
would say, and again, it would be to see how much of it someone could fit in their mouth. Like, for sure.
Yeah, they're gonna put the entire thing in their mouth.
That is a good image. Just a full stretched out lower lip yeah. of the toilet seat. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Looking like a horny pelican going nuts, cranking off. Yeah. So, congrats Jesus. To whoever. Who's Bill Wyman? What does he play?
That's I mean, the thing. He's Keith not even Richards. One of the two Rolling Stones yeah. that people know.
He's like the bonus.
Bill Wyman was the bassist. He hasn't been in
the Stones-iverse.
Like, I don't think he's like still around. And he's alive, but I don't think he's still in the Stones like per se.
Yeah, because it's like Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and the other guys. The other Stones.
Yeah.
Well, it was Ronnie Wood, or still is, I think. Ronnie Wood is the...
Shelby says, Dr. Stoic, the bass surgeon. Is that what he called himself?
I don't know what this means.
Is that like his pen name? His pseudonym?
We'll never know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say.
But,
Yes. Shelby says yes. Okay.
He's like, we'll never know the answer. It's a mystery, mystery phrase that appeared in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they sold.
Well, yeah, I mean. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to say it was good, but they also sold some small strands of Hitler's hair, which is like. You need to control
relics.
Those. Someone's cloning Hitler.
Yeah, you
they're
can't
selling
have DNA
relics.
Floating around.
That's what this is. Like, I do not.
Yeah,
like
but
this.
Hair.
This is a freak auction.
Nothing you can clone. Don't sell cloning stuff, clone material. Mm. You know?
Yeah. That's worrisome. Although, like we said, I feel like now that we've had Hitler, like, another guy that's literally exactly Hitler probably would not be that
Who
successful.
Looks just like Hitler and is being yeah. really Hitler-y, people are like, no.
He's being super Hitler-y and he has, like, a fucked up dick and like, yeah, I just don't think it's gonna work a second time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just Hitler, already... but he's got, like, a 2012, like, Bieber haircut, like, that, like, swoop. Of
yeah,
people everything else already, is the same. Like people already unjustly compare everyone to Hitler to talk about why they're bad. I feel like if you literally had Hitler again, people would draw comparisons in a way that. Although you know what else would happen is a bunch of people who like him would be like, "You just compare everyone to Hitler," and it's like that actually is Hitler.
That's Hitler's clone. All of his DNA is like, the same.
So what? Everyone you don't like is Hitler? Well, no, but like this guy is.
That's
like,
Hitler.
We tested it.
Yeah, that's definitely Hitler.
That's for sure Hitler. Yeah. Yeah, he shaved he doesn't have the little mustache anymore, but I can still tell.
Or they need to look into if the buyer was in Argentina and maybe it's Hitler and he wanted his toilet seat back because he really likes it. Mm. It's like,
it fits the contours of his
fucked up ass. Yeah. It's soft. All right.
Yeah.
Well, worst of luck to Hitler once again.
Yeah.
This Thanks podcast condemns Hitler. We don't like him, just in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
Number one?
Number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
We got a doll that's been locked in a closet for decades, a ventriloquist dummy that is going to be crossing state lines from Colorado to Kentucky to be displayed among other ventriloquist dummies.
Don't let it cross state lines.
It should be said that, you know, this is presented in the Denver Post as a you know, a nice, excuse me, a nice story. You know, someone.
Yeah, for the doll.
Yeah, dolls.
Well, no, for the you know, for the owner of the doll and the you know, someone who, you know, has taken care of the doll all these years and you know,
taking care of the doll with not by choice.
Yeah, she, you know, people, apparently she tried to sell the dummy on Facebook first and,
oh yeah, Facebook Marketplace.
Commenters went wild speculating on, you know, the kind of stuff that we're joking about.
A horror movie about Facebook Marketplace yet? Because there should be.
But haunted empanadas off Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Mummy meat empanadas. I'm cursed.
You go to get a plate because someone's offering $5 a plate on Facebook Marketplace, and you go, and it's like, this house burned down 20 years ago.
Not worth.
Where's my plate?
Not worth the $5 profit I made on this Olive Garden gift card to be cursed forever. Yeah. So this doll.
Tell us about this doll.
Did they drive it?
So. There's a lady that was her dad, I guess, gave her the dummy because she was a shy kid when she was, you know, like 10 or 12.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, and then it became her only friend.
And it became basically like Conky from Trailer Park Boys, if anybody is a Trailer Park Boys person, where the doll has its own personality. It's much more outgoing than her. And then...
Hey, I noticed you're having trouble making friends. Why don't you bring this ventriloquist dummy to school? Maybe that'll help you. Yeah, that'll help you.
She did little routines and went to children's hospitals and stuff. So it's a nice story. And then the doll went in a trunk for 40 years, which
made it angry.
Maybe that's the second, you know, what happened in between the first and second acts here, where it's like the resentment, you know, curdled the doll, and now it's something else. Anyway, so now they let it out, and it's the doll's name
is
Lizzie.
Mistake number one. Letting it out.
Mm-hmm. And Lizzie is going to the Vent Haven Museum, which I guess is the world's only museum dedicated to ventriloquism. So that's a nightmare place to go walk around.
Oh my God. A fucking vortex to the underworld. That is not a good place. That place is built on an Indian burial ground, no question.
Yeah. If you bring in one of those like electromagnetic field things, it just explodes. If you get anywhere near... If you have one in the back of your car and you drive by, it blows up. It's like so many ghosts.
And here's an interesting thing about this part of this. So they talk to like the curator of the dummy museum, the ventriloquist museum, and she says, is it a serial? Well, this person says they keep the doll. They do upkeep for the dolls. And there's a golden rule. The key rule is that nobody operates the dummies except their original owners who may come to visit. You just don't do that. It's blasphemy. It's rude. So that's like the ventriloquist code. Only the hand of the ventriloquist can operate the dummy.
What is her voice has to be like? This lady has to be like. They're like, we only allow the original owners.
Right. Well, yeah. I was going to say that's definitely like a piece of lore you can work into your horror script. That's an interesting piece of information.
Yeah. She's like the caretaker of these dummies in exchange for immortal life, in my opinion. She is the eternal caretaker of these dummies.
She stays in the dark parts of the room because if you look really closely, you notice on her face, she also has, it's almost like wood grain. She may be a dummy herself.
She has those
herself.
Lines on her chin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those like straight lines coming down from the sides of her mouth. It's fucked up.
Hey, I'm living in goosebumps. What's up? Come over to my museum.
Come over to my museum. Yeah, imagine you meet somebody and you're like, what do you do? And they're like, I'm a caretaker for a dummy museum.
Changing my hinge to that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, change your hinge to that. See what
my
happens.
Job is that I stole a clown's nose. That's my job.
And I was cursed for eternity.
My job is taking care of this slab. I assume they had
return
to
slab.
Yeah. I assume they drove the doll because they'd tried to fly it and the plane crashed like 5 times.
Well, the doll has
to... And the
to,
only thing that survived the crash was doll. The dummy every time.
The black box was fucked up, but the doll was fine.
The dummy has to travel, when it crosses state lines like that. You know, it can't cross a body of water or anything like that unless it's in a container of soil from its homeland. Like, you know, so that's very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a bunch of Colorado dirt in like a coffin that the doll kind of hangs out in, I guess.
Back-to-back strain refs for everybody coming in hot. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, ultimately, for ventriloquists, this stuff is not creepy. From the outside looking in, it's a little strange to think about. So it's a nice story, but yeah, this is how it starts. It's going to get out, and
This is, I believe Eli said we were talking about this earlier. This is Act One.
Yeah,
that's right. What's going on here. This is not the end. I suspect this will not be the last news story we cover about this doll after it murders a small town.
Yeah, who's still doing ventriloquism outside of Jeff Dunham? I guess just him.
Terry Fader, the winner of America's Got Talent, who is in Las Vegas. There's a second one right there.
Going to see Jeff Dunham, and he's like, well, as soon as his chunk with Pepe, the what's the fucking guy's name? Like jalapeno on a stick.
Okay, yeah, that's one.
Then he's like,
I know him, and I know Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Yeah, he puts away Ahmed the Dead Terrorist and retrieves Lizzie from his trunk, and everyone is found dead. Then that's the beginning of the Law and Order episode, and then it smash cuts to Ice-T walking into a theater full of dead people.
Ice-T stuck on the concept of ventriloquism.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a sex crime, by the way. This is SVU is handling this.
Yeah.
What's the sex element of the?
So it's like people, but they're smaller and made of wood. Can they talk?
You put your hand up it.
You tell them you put a hand up a doll's ass, make it talk.
It's like, yeah, I don't mean to second guess this, but Chief, what's the sex thing here? What, is there a sex element to this that I'm missing?
Have you watched SVU? I feel like I have that question about half of the crime. Yeah. I'm like, why? I don't want there to be a sex thing, but it feels like there should be given the cops investigating this.
It says it in the beginning. The guy says it.
Here at SVU, we think all victims are special.
Exactly. That's kind of the conceit of the show when they deal with things. It's basically like if a crime happens to a woman, they like they're just called in.
If a crime, I don't want to imagine it like a soul song. Like if a crime happens to a woman, that's like the SVU Marvin Gaye jam. I don't know what.
If a crime happens to a woman is like the beginning of like a Kamala Harris speech.
If you give a mouse a muffin.
It's that Michael Bolton song from the 90s, If a Crime Happens to a Woman. Just really bolting it, just belting it out. Bolting it out. There we go.
Bolting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice-T finding a doll that looks like him and smashing it to pieces, going into a blind rage.
That's the threat. They go home and to their apartment, and there's a doll that looks like them sitting on their bed or something.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
Dolls
ripped from the headlines. Very very loosely ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, it does not represent any similarity to real dolls is not.
Blurrily photocopied from the headlines.
Right. Inspired by a true story.
I love when
inspired
they do that.
By part of a true thing that sort of the genre of a true story.
That's the best is when you're watching a movie about like a werewolf and they're like inspired by a true story. It's like, well, the true part's not the werewolf.
What part of this?
Yeah, it was like in real life there was a high school basketball player, but he wasn't a werewolf. That part we changed.
Yeah, werewolves and nobody told me. What's come on?
Yeah.
The only part that was inspired by the true story of Teen Wolf is the surfing on top of the car. That's it.
Yes.
There's a kid that died.
I have a Google alert for werewolf. That's sort of trying to keep up. That's like whenever they have one of those shows where they're trying to find Bigfoot and they try to be like, are we going to find him? And we're like, no, because it would be the news. If you found him, I don't need to watch the next 12 episodes because if you found Bigfoot, you would be on the news.
It would be reported on. Yeah. Imagine you get the New York Times and the headline is like half the page and it just says Bigfoot found.
Yeah. In your robe outside, you drop your coffee cup to the ground.
Yeah.
Finally.
I'm more of a Loch Ness guy than a Bigfoot guy, but yes, any cryptid confirmed would be not saved for a documentary. It would be in the news.
Yeah, would you make Bigfoot sign an NDA? Like you can't publish this anywhere else.
Yeah, look, just stay in there for like, give us like 6 months. We got to cut this thing or whatever. And he's just like angry and wants to get out and get on the, I want to do Wendy Williams or something. He's pissed off.
I want to go through the forest and swish my arms. It's my favorite thing. I like to do funny walks.
Yeah,
no,
they're saving him. They're saving him for sweeps. They're like, you got to stay in there until March. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, good luck with season two of the Bigfoot Hunt. I don't know how you guys are going to escalate from finding Bigfoot.
Netflix is really stretching on this stuff. Season two is not living up to the hype.
More Bigfoots? Well,
bigger maybe he has Bigfoots? A family?
Yeah. We're going to keep looking. Yeah.
Well, good luck to the doll caretaker. Yeah, I hope she isn't cursed for life.
Best of luck to the ventriloquist museum. Best of luck to the lady who gave away her doll, Lizzie. I'm not going to say best of luck to Lizzie. I'm just going to say, Lizzie, please don't fight the urge that is now growing inside you as you became sentient to punish people for keeping you in a trunk for 40 years.
Yeah. I'll say I don't wish Lizzie ill because I value my life. So that's I might not wish her luck, but I also do not wish her ill.
Cool doll, IMO. Lizzie.
Cool doll. Want to bring it to the White House? That's like the sixth movie in the Lizzie saga is she goes to the White House.
Lizzie does Washington.
Cool doll.
Yeah, it's after they do Lizzie in space, Lizzie in the hood, they do Lizzie in Washington.
Yeah, Lizzie goes to Washington.
Let me be clear. Yeah, about the doll.
Lizzie's on Obama's podcast. Lizzie, the haunted Springsteen. Doll.
It's like, so you can talk without a person now. That's interesting. Pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. Lizzie doing ads for fucking Casper mattress in the ad break.
Yeah.
Just like
I love the idea of a ventriloquist podcast because it's like do you have the dummy on? You don't have to do it.
Well, it's got three hosts. Kind of.
You're just doing the voice.
All the same guy. There's like, the only podcast where you can hear someone drinking water a lot. It's like, it's not even really impressive.
Yeah, it's like, this does not live up to the hype. I listen to a lot of podcasts by drag queens, and they joke about that a lot, about how it's like, this is so much easier than doing drag, because the whole point of a drag queen is like all of this effort that goes into how you look, and it's like just them talking, and they're like, this is sweet. We should have just done this from the beginning. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome absolutely. To podcasting.
Welcome to podcasting. I look like shit.
Kath is, she looks like a ventriloquist dummy. It's very straight. It's very upsetting. I don't know.
I told them it was a filter, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's
Kath's got that ventriloquist dummy filter. She uses it every time we podcast. She also has this ribbon around her neck that she's not allowed to remove. A lot of stuff going on.
I told you guys not to talk about the ribbon. That was my one condition.
People are just going to ask what the ribbon has. You know, they won't let it go. And that's
stop
why I don't
asking
talk about,
it. About my ribbon.
Yeah.
It's none of your business. How dare you question what a woman chooses to wear? Yeah. If she chooses to wear a ribbon around her neck, it is none of your business.
Does anyone have any questions? Keeping in mind that I've explained the green ribbon tied around my neck.
I'm thinking about trying to sleep in the Ventriloquist Museum, and I'm like, hey, everyone, buy my worst-selling sleep album, Little Footsteps.
Oh, man, the cops are coming back.
Lizzie's out. All right.
Yeah, just a relaxation album that's just creaky doors in the distance.
Yeah, I fall asleep to the Halloween album. Little Footsteps, the sleep playlist on Spotify. The click clack of little footsteps above and around you. Oh,
all right.
Boy.
Plugs time?
Creaky door!
Yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
I missed it. My favorite sound clip. Plug time.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Everybody! It's plugs.
Oh, by the way, after our last episode, my mom texted me and said Joe Biden got plugs in the 80s. So, just FYI.
Mystery solved.
That's the appropriate time to bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As indicated by the theme song. So,
Another thing I want to bring up before we do plugs is that I just wanted on record that the person drinking a beverage with ice in it this time was Patty. Thank you. Snitching.
Oh, damn.
Got a snitch.
Was it a lot? I thought I only got it once. I don't know.
We'll find out. People are crazy. Kath we'll find out.
Snitching.
Get him out of here.
Wow. I never have
ice. I was jealous. That's why I wanted to drink the opposite of
solidarity there. Just really selling me out immediately.
I love lukewarm water.
First opportunity available. So, okay. Need a minute to recover here.
Yeah, Kath dropped a fucking dime on you.
Yeah, really.
Sorry. I need to be radically transparent about things that are not my fault.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was Luke. Luke Mottis just watches and rattles ice. You know who
Luke's in the Zoom call with his camera off, just rattling ice.
Yeah, it was Lizzie, actually.
Dragging chains. Yeah.
Lizzie was drinking a little bit of fake drink with fake ice and rattling it.
Yeah, like those like Cabbage Patch dolls where it has a bottle of formula and you tip it upside down and it goes away. Yeah. She had one of those. Anyway, plugs.
Patreon.com/whatatimepod like we talked about up top. We got over 150 bonus episodes. We got a live show video. We got a Roadhouse commentary track. Ton of stuff on there. Best way to support the show. Best way to support the show. We got some goals coming up. We have at 1,100 patrons. Eli will be doing an art show of his fantasy art, and we're getting close to that. What do we say? We're at a little over 1,080 now.
1,082, something like that.
1,082, yeah. So what's that? 18 more patrons, and we'll get to watch Eli's fashion show
and a little art show of things I drew when I was 12.
So
get a peek into that psyche.
And we'll probably do a stream around that or something, I would suspect. So yeah, patreon.com sweat time pot at 1100 we have that. 1200, we're gonna do the death nut challenge, which is eating a bunch of increasingly spicy nuts, also presumably on stream. And at 2000, we're gonna be doing the NFL combine, which is looking like, you know, it will be potentially safe to do that, so that's exciting. So that's Patreon.com/whatatimepod. We also have the Tee Public, a link in the description. A lot of good shirts on there, including some designed by some folks that are friends of the show. So, there'll be a sale. We'll post it on the Twitter and stuff, you know, whenever that happens. Another way to support the show, tell a friend, leave us a review on iTunes. You know, those 5-star reviews, I guess, are helpful in the algorithm in some way. Or leave us a positive review on whatever service you listen, I guess. I just always think of iTunes first.
iTunes boosts us up the charts, so yes, slam that MF review button.
That's my understanding. Discord link in the description. A lot of good folks on there. If you're at the $10 Patreon level, you can use the story suggestions and the other private channels. We have a YouTube channel now, which we are building out, and that's youtube.com/c/c/ What a Time to Be Alive. There'll be a link in the description to that too. Throw that a subscription if you're a YouTube person. We're What a Time Pod on Twitter, What a Time Pod on Instagram, What a Time Podcast at gmail.com. I am Patty Mo on all the stuff. I don't have anything. I think by the time this comes out, I don't think I have anything to promote. But I've got some podcast appearances that I'm recording this weekend that I'll mention next week. So, yeah.
I'm Kath Barbadoro on social media. I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We do one free episode a month and two Patreon-only bonus episodes a month, patreon.com/liecheatandsteal, A-N-D. We're really close to reaching our goal on there. When we get to $1,000 a month in patrons, we're going to go to weekly. So instead of 3 episodes a month, you'll get 4. Our most recent Patreon episode was about April Parks, who is part of the inspiration for the movie I Care a Lot, and is a piece of shit who, basically, it's really easy for a company to buy your grandparents and make them slaves, and that's what we did an episode about, and it was fun. So check that out. I think that's all I have to plug.
I'd like to reverse plug the movie I Care a Lot. That movie sucks butt. It's bad. Don't watch it. I would like to plug. I do a show every Thursday on Twitch that you can also watch the past episodes on YouTube, called TV&D, where it's D&D with TV cast with friends of mine from College Humor. We just finished three episodes where we did Bob's Burgers, which I thought was super, super fun. And this month we're doing The Muppets. So if you want to check that out, other than that, you know, just all the other regular stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Bye, everyone.
Goodbye,
thanks
everyone.
For listening.
We'll see you next week.